Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Dalet, and we're holding basically at the top. We had just finished Rava saying that Ha'olah hi Olah Rishona, and therefore everything that we're on Makriv has to be done before we bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, because once we bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, it's too late to bring anything else. Okay, now we'll go back to the Seder HaMa'arocha of Abaya Alibad Abashol. Next thing we had was Mincha. The Mincha of the actual Korban comes before the Chavitim. Why is that? Because the Torah says, Lakriv Dvar Yom Biyomo, Ola Umincha, Zevach Unesachim Dvar Yom Biyomo. So that means that the Eila is supposed to be connected to its own Mincha. So since we brought already the Tamid, we have to bring the Mincha of that Tamid, which is the Solas part, before we bring anything else. So if we're going to bring the Chavitim may be a Mincha, but it's not the Mincha of that Eila, so it's not Eila u'Mincha. The next thing that we learned is that the Chavitim come right after that, and they come before the Nesachim. Why is that? Well, because it does say Ola u'Mincha, right? So, I mean, obviously, the Mincha of the Ola is the first thing to be included. But the Minchas Chavitim is also a Mincha, so therefore, Shum Mincha, that shame of Mincha is sufficient to be Mechayev us to bring it together with the other mincha, so to speak, immediately afterwards, before we bring the Nesachim. Why to bring the Nesachim before the Musafim? Because, as we just read the Pasuk, Zevach Unechasim Unesachim Dvar Yom Biyomo. So that means that the Zevach is brought together with its Nesach, not to bring another Zevach in between. So that means we don't want to bring the Musafim before we bring the Nesachim of the Eila itself. So everything makes sense. Now, the Musafim, they come before the Bezichim of Shabbos. Now, this is a bit of a problem, because there's a Braisa that says that that's not true. It says Bezichim are Kodmin the Musafim. So how can Abaye say, and he's going to argue with the Braisa, that he's going to claim the Musafim come before the Bezichim? This is the Musafim of Shabbos we're talking about here. And doesn't it say in a Braita the opposite, that first come the Bezichim and then come the Musafim? Says the Gemara, well, obviously, remember we had back in Psachim, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Which one is supposed to come first? And Abaye was going to leave the Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi, I'll tell you why I feel that way, because it's very mistaber. Kemandi Omar, Musafim kodmim Bezichim. Because, I mean, the whole way we've been working out the Seder over here would be that you said that when it says baboker, the word baboker means early. So when you say twice baboker, so you mean very early, right? So then if we say bayom ha-shabbat, and we repeat that, so Achinami, bayom, would be exactly the same point, because bayom means the opposite of boker. Bayom means in the or of the yom, where it's already bright daylight and where you can feel the day. So if it says that, the idea would be that yom should indeed tell me to do it a little bit later. And therefore, I would actually, why I said in the order, at first we do the Musafim, because by the Bezich, and it says, Biyom HaShabbat Yekrivenu. And my time at the Mandi Omer, Bezich in Kedmin the Musafim, so why does Rabbi Akiva not hold on that? He says, look, we have a Gzeira Shava that compares the Chavitim, because where it says over there, Chok Olam LaHashem Kalil Toktor. And then, that's Bechal, the din of the Chavitim, and we've already established when the Chavitim is supposed to come. Now, it says the same Lashon of Chok Olam by the Levona that was together with the Bezichei Levona that was together with the Lechem HaPanim. So he says, just like it says Chok Olam LaHashem, And it says that also by the Bezichin, Chok Olam. So that tells me that just like the Chavitim come before the Musaf, which we already know from the idea that it's Shum Mincha, so too it must be that the Bezichei Levina come also in the same way. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. If you're really learning it out from Chuka Chucha, then we should make, I mean, Gzera Shava is Gzera Shava. You can't pick and choose what you like to learn from the Gzera Shava and what you don't like to learn from the Gzera Shava, right? So then, if that's the case, then we should learn out everything from there. So, Imi Atam Gamar, if that's the Mokar, then we should learn out that the Mezichim should come even before the Nesachim. Because, I mean, that's the din that we're learning over there. So, if that's the case, if you're telling me the Chavitim came before, and that was the whole point because it's Shum Mincha, so it had to come together with the idea of the Mincha that was brought together with the Zevachu Mincha, and we added to that. That means the Tamid Mincha, and then the Minchas Chavitim. If you're going to learn out from the Minchas Chavitim, then we should say Zevachu Mincha, and then followed by the Bezichei Levina, and then go on to the Musaf. So if that's the case, it should also go before the Zevachu Nesachim, because that's what the Chavitim were. They came before the wine that was supposed to be brought for the Taida. So go all the way. No, we can't go all the way. Because, look, basically we've got a balance over here that we have to reach. On the one hand, the Torah said, Bayom, Bayom, and that tells me later in the day, right? So that the Biyom HaShabbat, that means take care of the Bezich. By the way, the Bezichei Levona, of course, includes everything that you do with the Bezichei Levona, along with the Bezichei Levona, including the Seder Lechem HaPanim. We refer to it the Bezichei Levona because that is the last thing that we do in order to be Matir Lechem. So on the one end, the Torah is telling me late in the day. On the other hand, the Torah is telling me compare with Chok Olam, compare it and learn out the Bezichei Levina, learn it out from the Mincha. So, okay, I can't go all the way because I have to balance the Chiev of the Bayom, La'acher. So therefore, I say, look, the Zevach Unesachim, that I will say comes directly afterwards. And then Bayom, Bayom, that much, it tells me it should wait until after those Nesachim. But to tell me that it comes before the Musafim, that yes. Okay, so now we understand the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and we see why it is that Abaya held like Rabbi Shmuel, and now that gives us a clear understanding of what the issues are in the Seder Ma'arocha, Aliba d'Abba Shol, what the differences are between Abba Shol and the Rabbanan, in terms of whether we put the Keteres has to be after the Neiris are finished, or whether we can use the Keteres to split it, or whether the Dama Tamit splits between the Chomesh Neiris and the Shtei Neiris. And now we also see that there is this other Machlokas of whether the Musafim should come before the Bezichim because of the Bayom Bayom, or whether the Bezichim should come before the Musafim because of the Chok Olam. Okay, now let's get back to the Mishnah. We finished Abaye. Let's take a look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a penny worth of prevention, you know, to take the drink now, is going to be worth an awful lot of sevel if I wait. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. Okay. Ketoret shel shachar. So the morning ketoret, which is we're talking about every day here. So the Mishnah said that we bring the Keteres bein dam la'evarim. Now that is a bit of a problem. because nobody holds that, as far as we know so far. I mean, if the question is, all we know, the information we have, is the machlokas of the Rabbanan with Abba Shaul. So according to the Rabbanan that we had before, the difference between the Chamesh Neirot and the Shtei Neirot was by the Keteras. According to Abba Shaul, the difference between the Chamesh Neirot and the Shtei Neirot was the Dan. So now, if we're talking about the Keteras Shel Shachar, how do you ever get the Keteras Shel Shachar between the Dam of the Tamid and the Akravas HaEvorim? I mean, if it's going on Libet Rabbanan, okay, so then Rabbanan held that you're supposed to do the Keteras in the middle of the Neiras, right? So then it should say, Bein Dam L'Neirot Miboilei, because I have to do it after the Dam of the Tamid, but before I finish doing all of the menorah, because I still have the remaining lights of the menorah to finish. So how could you just skip over the last part of the menorah and jump after that directly to the Evorim? That doesn't make sense. And if it's going to Abba Shaul, then you have to finish all of the neiras before you do the keteras, and that was his whole point. So then it should have said, not between the Dam and Eivorim, it should have said Ben Neirot Eivorim. So who is the Mishnah going according to? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbanan, because we already saw that. Remember, we asked before, way back at the beginning, how come the Mishnah seems to be going Shaloka Abashol? It's not like Abaya's Seder Maharochas, and we answered that was going Alibet Abashol. Mashen Kein Mishnah was going Alibet Rabbanan, and we're not going to change that. So the Masechet, basically we've determined, Seder of the Masechet of the Mishnah is going Alibet Rabbanan. Fine. So then if that's the case, Lo'ilam Rabbanani, but the Mishnah was not going with the Seder of the Aveda, wasn't coming to teach me necessarily the Seder. It wants to just tell me that Lamaisa, there's a big difference between the Tomei, the Keteras of the Baker, and the Keteras of Ben Arbaim. That's the only thing. So that's why the Mishnah is pointing out that, look, the Keteras of Baker actually came between the Dam and the Evorim. That's what I want to point out. Obviously, there may be other things there also, Benogea, the Neiras, but that's not what I'm focusing on. And that isn't the case. Is there something wrong? Well, what is Shmu writing? I don't know. Okay, so if somebody could just write him that maybe he's just not, something's with his internet. So therefore, it just stresses specifically that particular issue, but it isn't coming to discuss the overall Seder. Now, the question is, how do we know this difference exactly? That shall ben arbaim, it's kreva ben evorim l'nesachim. And then in the shachar, it was kreva ben dam l'evorim. I mean, there's got to be a good basis for that, because, I mean, normally you would assume that the Seder of the relationship of the zrikas adam of the tamid and the Akravas HaEvorim of the Tamid should be something that is defined as what's appropriate for the Korban. I mean, so why would it be different between the morning and the afternoon? How exactly do we know such an afkamina? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, because the Pasuk stresses, the Omer Akra, ki minchat haboker uchnisko ta'aseh. So when we're talking about the Seder of the Korban Tamid, so we say over there, et hakeves hasheni, and note this, et hakeves hasheni ta'aseh ben arbaim, ki mincha taboker uchinizko ta'aseh, ishe reach nichoach la'ashem. So we started off with the et hakeves echad, ta'aseh baboker, et hakeves hasheni ta'aseh ben arbaim ki mincha taboker. So it's coming to tell me that there's something like, just like the Minchat HaBoker. What's the din of the Minchat HaBoker? The Ketoret comes before the Nesachim. So Haktoret Kodemet LeNisachim, which we explained before, that the way that we learned, I mean, over here, obviously, we're using Nisachim in the broadest sense, including the Mincha and the Nisei Hayayin. But that should be true over here, Afkan, Kitoret Kodemet LeNisachim. So even though we don't see that it's talking about the Ketoret over here, but it would seem to be the case. Since over here we don't have the relationship to the other issues, so therefore we just put the Ketoret before bringing all of the Nesachim. Wait a minute, but that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean we'll ignore the other issues? I mean, in the morning, the Ketoret comes also Kedemes Le'Evarim, right? So what do you mean? Well, let's ignore the Evarim. It should be the same. So Afkan Ketores Kodemet Le'Evarim. I mean, why is there any difference? And we have the pasuk that we learned out from, that we burn the Ketores right before we bring the Evarim. So how did that change? I don't understand. Well, because it doesn't say Ke'evrei HaBoker. It says Kiminchat HaBoker. In other words, the Torah is going out of its way to say, if you want to determine the relationship of the Tamid to the Ketores, when it's talking about Bein HaRabayim, it's got to be like the Mincha, not like the Evarim of the Boker. That's the difference. So therefore, there is a big, don't ask me, why is it that when it comes to the Boker, we also are Kodemes Le'Evarim here too, it should be Kodemes Le'Evarim, because the Torah B'Dafka didn't compare it to that. It went out of its way to compare it specifically to the Minchas HaBoker. Isn't that a little bit strange? Why say Kiminchas HaBoker? Why not compare the Tamidim Zelazeh? That's the whole point, that you have to treat it the same when it comes to the positioning of the Ketores to the Mincha, but not to the Evarim. So that means that when it comes to the Evarim in the morning, it's going to be different than it is in the afternoon. Tana Rabbana, once we're already on the subject over here of the Nesachim that are going to be brought together with the Tamid, we have to note that the Pasuk is very misleading. Because, I mean, when we read that pasuk, it says, V'nizkol revi'it hahin. And that nizkol revi'it hahin is specifically brought immediately after the keves hasheni. So it says, the keves hasheni, which we just darshan to make it kiminchat haboker. Then it goes on to say, V'nizkol revi'it hahin la keves ha'echad. Why are all of a sudden we referring to a venisko? Is this a din in both tamidim, or is it only a din in the second tamid? Because that was the pasuk immediately before. It's in the context of the second tamid, isn't it? So it's mashma that the nisko revi'itahin was only referring to the tamid shobein arbayim, because that's exactly what the pasuk immediately before was talking about. So it makes sense. Et hakeves echad ta'aseh b'boker, v'et hakeves hasheni ta'aseh b'ein arbayim. Then you talk about kiminchat haboker ta'aseh, and then you get to the next pasuk finally that says v'nizkor revi'itahin. So the only way that we know that there is also a nizkor revi'itahin for the morning is because we're going to be yilmat shel shacharit mishel arvit. So in the same way that the mincha was the inyonim of the tamid shobein arbayim was compared to the minchas haboker, so now we will also learn the shachris from the arvis. The Torah mentions at the end of the whole story nizkor revi'itahin. In context, that seems to be referring to the tamid shobein arbayim, but we already know that we have a comparison of the two menachas, because the tamid shel shachar can now be learned Mishel Arvit. Rebbe says, no. It's the Arvit that's going to be learned Mishel Shacharit. Wait a minute. Why? Mishlom al-Rabbanan. What the Rabbanan said made sense. First, we said that the keves echad taseh b'boker. Then we said that the keves hashini taseh ben arbayim kolat b'boker v'nisko taseh. And then we said v'nisko revi'i tahin. What was the v'nisko revi'i? What's the immediate antecedent to the pronoun v'nisko? The tamid shoben arbayim et hakeves hashini taseh ben arbayim v'nisko. So therefore, the rabbanim makes sense. The context of the pasuk is b'tamid shoben arbayim. But Rebbe, how can Rebbe say that the pasuk is referring back to the tamid shel shachar, and then we're going to have to learn the tamid shoben arbayim out of the tamid shel shachar? Omar Rabba Barula, Dafka Rebbe makes heck of a lot of sense. Why does it say v'nizkor v'itayin la keves ha'echad? What do you need to say? Is nizkor v'itayin? Which keves is called the echad? Can you tell me? Because the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim was just referred to in the pasuk as et ha'keves ha'sheni. Which one was the keves echad? The pasuk before that. Et ha'keves echad taseh b'boker. So obviously, if it's saying over here la keves ha'echad, it's saying for the keves, that was referred to as the keves echad. It's actually brilliant. So the pasuk is going out of its way to relate the nesach to the tamid shel shachar. Ezo keves shenemar bo echad. Havi omer ze tamid shel shachar. And the rabbanon, that's a pretty good way of understanding the pasuk. So what is the point of that word, of echad? Answers the Gemara, echad means miyuchad, the one that is most chashuv. So that means you should always bring, even though there may be, obviously you could have a behemah that's kshera, but you might have a behemah that's much more chashuv, and that's much more beautiful. Choose the best one. Miyuchad shebe'edro. So how does Rebbe know that? Rebbe says miyuchad shebe'nid. Shebe'edro is a davar poshet. It says always, mifchar nadrechem. That pasuk is always a lashon of mifchar. It says, v'kol mifchar nadrechem asher tidru l'Hashem. So then that means that your karbanos is supposed to be mifchar. Doesn't it say that? Rabbanan say, no, it doesn't say that. Look at the pasuk. It says, mifchar nadrechem. That sounds like it's referring to the karbonis that you're bringing as a neder. So those are the karbonis that you're bringing as a gift. But here we're talking about the neder, the mufchar that you need to bring on a karbon that's chayva. How do you know that you're supposed to bring also the karbon chayva in that way? So that's the point. Chad b'chova v'chad b'dindava. And I certainly need both, because it's easy to see that on the one hand, I could say, look, if you're going to bring me a gift, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it nice. Otherwise, don't bother bringing me a gift. Lots of people would say that. You know, you're going to already bring me something. Fine, so make it a nice thing. I mean, to give me something that shows me that you don't care, I don't need those kind of gifts, you know? Okay, so that would make sense. Masha Inkin, if I am being b'chayiv of you to bring a carbon, so fine, I understand. You want to bring the carbon that is kosher, fine. Then I don't need mifchar. On the other hand, if I'm b'chayiv of you to bring the carbon, and it would have said it over there that it has to be mifchar, I would have said, okay, because that's the deal. I mean, if you're going to be m'chuyev, then you have to be Yotze the Chiev in the best possible way. If you want to volunteer a gift, we're happy to accept any small token of your esteem. So maybe it wouldn't have to be Bedavka the best. So therefore, the Torah wants to let us know two psukim, both the din of Echad over here, referring to Miyuchad, and that is in terms of Chovah, and then there's also the din of Mifchar Nidarecha. Okay, then we continue. Mishnah says if the Kohen Gadol was old or if he was very sensitive, so then they would have warm water from before Yontem. They would mix it into the cold water of the mikveh so that it would at least be bearable. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Ashashiyot shel barzel ayu mechamim mi'erev Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Yehuda said they didn't heat water and try to keep the water warm. What they did was they heated up these metal bars which were basically a battery of the heat, and then they would put those bars into the water on Yom Kippur, and that would heat the water, which is much more effective than is, obviously can hold much more heat in a metal bar than you can in water that you can only heat up to the point of boiling. So therefore, that's the way they would do it. They would put those bars, and that way, that would be the way that it would be done. Fine. Wait a sec, says the Gemara, but you can't do that. If you put very hot iron into cold water, then you're tempering it, right? So then, alo mitzarefu, I mean, why wouldn't that be usur? Because of Tziruf Matechet. And Tziruf Matechet is considered to be Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Kli because it's like Makeh B'Patish. Omer Rav Bevi, well, it's talking about over here that they didn't make it hot enough to be actually Mitzuraf. Because look, I mean, we might have kept it, you know, all night. We might have kept it over coals, but it's still, by the time we get it into the mikveh, it's not going to be red hot, so which is necessary in order for us to accomplish tempering the metal. And because of that, it's not going to be a problem of tziruf. Abaye says, what's the problem anyway? Even if it would have gotten lidei tziruf, it's a dovah sheina miskaven. The dovah sheina miskaven is mutter. So even though you could say, well, wait a minute, a psik resha is aser. So Tosfos says tziruf is not a psik resha. It's a very complex procedure, and it has to be done precisely right. You never know just because you stick hot metal into water that it's going to end up being mitzuraf. So it's not a psik resha, and it's a dovah sheina miskaven, and therefore we don't have to worry, because we hold, apparently like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that since it's not your kavanah to do, so that's not a problem. But Abaye doesn't hold that, does he? I thought Abaye holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a dovah sheina miskaven is osur, because it says in the Braita of Atanya, besar or lato. So what does the pasuk stress, besar or lato? I mean, just say, to be mal. Why bizarre orlato? We already know what an orla is. Because it's coming to tell me that even though we know that it says, Hishamer benega hatzarat, where over there it uses the lashon of Adam kieb bis, or bisaro, so that bizarre immediately makes you think, aha, so what would happen if there's a nega tzaras on a foreskin? Would you be allowed to do mila if you're going to be over on the iser of Yishamer B'nega HaTzarat? Comes along the extra pasuk b'sar arlato to tell me, even if Yesham Baheret, and this is a tinaik that has ba'or b'sorai a Baheret, doesn't matter. You should still cut it off, and you won't be over on Yishamer B'nega HaTzarat. Now, so says Rabbi Yoshia. So now over there, we asked about this. Why do I need a pasuk? I don't understand. I'm cutting off the baheret as a dovah sheina miskaven, right? So kro lamali, isn't it a dovah sheina miskaven? I mean, it happens to be that I'm taking off the baheret. But that's not what it is that I'm coming to do. In the Gemara and Shabbos, it starts asking over there the fact that it's a psik resha and so on. But what's important to us is not that whole discussion. What's important to us is what Abaye said. Abaye said it doesn't matter if it's a darvish in a miskaven, because it's clear that we need the pasuk alibet Reb Yehuda. And it only works out alibet Reb Yehuda. He holds a darvish in a miskaven as usher. So, I mean, if Abaye is telling you that the way to understand the pasuk is that the pasuk is based on Rabbi Yehuda, it's pretty clear that that's what he holds is the halacha, and namely, that a dovah sheina miskaven is awesome. So how can he say over here, doesn't matter if the metal is hot enough to be mitzarev, after all, it's only a davar shenu miskaven. I don't understand. No, this is, there's a big difference. When we talk about what he just said, and we go according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's talking about where we're dealing with things that are iser d'oraisa. So there are b'chola teira kula, yes, that is indeed what he holds. Masha Enkin, over here, tziruf is really only d'rabbanan. Because even, as Tosis points out, even though we have many places where we talk about Tikkun Kli of being a d'oraisa, and we had back in the Gemara Shabbos, remember, pouring cold water into your water boiler on Shabbos would be also because it's tziruf. But that, says Tosis, is because the tziruf, what's the iser of tziruf? The iser of tziruf is Tikkun Mana. It's Tikkun Kli. But in this case, if you're talking about a bar of metal, what kind of tikkun manin is it? Well, who the heck cares, right? So because of that, it may be the rabbanan aser not to do tziruf because it's similar to the tikkun manin that you would do with the kli. But certainly you're not doing anything very valuable by making just a piece of metal, metal that's tempered because it's not a kli. So therefore over here, it's only a tziruf d'rabbanan. And because of that, he says, okay, so if we're dealing with the d'rabbanan, so then it is okay, in this case, to put it in to the water. I think that we could actually hold off on the Mishnah till tomorrow, because we have a pretty small daf tomorrow, and Bezrat Hashem will be able to be there. Yeah?
Isn't the other days rather large?
No. If you want to, I'm happy to read the Mishnah, but I mean, I don't like dividing between a Mishnah and a Gemara, so I mean, I would read it tomorrow anyway. I'm happy to do it stam. I mean, I think Mitzvah Shabbos people appreciate the time.
Ready?
Yeah?
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Do we not need to make up what we're going to not learn on the second day of Shavuot?
Why, are you in Chutz Laaretz?
No, I'm not. I'm not, but there are those who are.
I'm assuming that Rav Dani is going to be with everyone. Am I right? La? You don't know.
Unfortunately, not actually.
Not? Well, if everybody would like to make up an extra daf, we could certainly. Certainly learn. It doesn't take much to do the next Talmud. So we could do that. Is it, would you want to do that, or you would just want to get together to learn? It's up to you. Not everybody's here, but between you and Law, I don't know.
We're obviously very excited if we carry on learning, but I mean, we're very appreciative to carry on learning and not miss out, but I mean, it's not.
Oh, okay, so. Right. Yeah, what are we going to do with our extra day? Actually, that's a very good point. I mean, are we not going to get together? Or? You know what? Let's do the next Talmud, because it's really pretty easy to do the next Talmud, and we'll decide what to do. Okay, so then let's start with our Capitan. Dear Capitan, you're on. And if you don't take it over, there's somebody that's right there, this Ganakayan, and he's nipping at your heels. He's getting close. He's only got Akiva between you and him. Okay, so we finished now the mikvah, the first time that he goes to the mikvah, the machlokas about whether we do the, we maybe would have to do two times, besides the tefillah, two times we would have to do the netilah, ended up that we said even Rabbi Meir's Beda, and then we talked about everything that was done in the big day Zohar. Now, we have to go to the Beit HaParva, because the Beit HaParva was built inside the Mokum Kodesh, right? And the Mokum Kodesh, the first mikveh, was Dafka not in the Mokum Kodesh, it was on top of the Shar HaMayim, because he was just coming into the Beis HaMikdash. But the next one, it says, B'Mokum Kodesh. So what did they do? That was B'Kodesh Haita. There, too, they put up a type of mechitza for tzniut, which this was on the roof of the Gaga Parva. So B'Parsus Adin Shabut Beino Levein Ha'am. And they used a linen sheet, Kidesh Yadav Raglav. So first he did the Kiddush, and then he took off his clothes. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, this machlokas we know about, right? We already analyzed what it's based on. So Rabbi Meir says, no, but Shad, first he takes off his clothes, then Kidesh Yadav Raglav, because after all, the Verachatz comes after the Pashatit Begadav. So we always first get undressed, then he does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then he goes to the mikvah. Okay, Yorad V'Taval, okay, now everybody agrees. Next step is he goes into the mikvah, and then Alav Nistapag dries himself off. As we mentioned earlier, he needs to dry himself off because we need to make certain that there won't be any kind of chatzitza between his begadim and his skin. Havilo Bigdei Lavan, now it's time to start on the Avedas Hayom. The Avedas Hayom requires Bigdei Lavan. Lavash, V'kidesh, Yadav, V'raglav. So he gets dressed, and now he does the second Kiddush Yadav V'raglav, which we said everybody agrees, Kishuhu Lavush, Mikadesh. B'shachar, now in the morning, when he was doing his main Aveda, and that was all of the things, the keteris and so on, he would put on these extremely valuable begadim, which were made out of pelusim. This was begadim that are made out of bad, that is comes from pelusia, which is a place in Mitzrayim, but have the best quality linen. And those were worth 12 mana, shneim asar mana, which is immense amount of money. And in the afternoon, when all he was going to do, what was he putting them on again for? He only put them on again to go in and to take out the Kafu Machta, remember? So those were not as chashev. And we'll see that there's actually a remez in the pasuk that they're not as chashev, but we understand that an Aveda Siluk is never as chashev. So in the same way that we have the begadim pchutim, at least certainly according to Rashi, holds that even the Trumas Hadeshen was done with pchutim. So over here, when you're taking out a kafu machta, it was not worth very much. It was only worth 800 zuz. So it was worth 800 zuz, which is 8 mana, and this is worth 12 mana. Devar Rebbe Meir. No. You got mixed up. In the Shachar, he was love shel shmona asar mona. It was 18 mana. And in the afternoon, it was 12 mana. And that equals 30 mana. And obviously, the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? You only have to be a first grader to add up 18 mana and 12 mana. What in the world does the Mishnah have to tell us that for? That we'll see. But altogether, that equals 30 mana. Now, look, that's what we're going to pay Mishal Tzibor. I mean, that will take out of the money that the Tzibor is going to supply, and that was from the Machzis HaShekel. But if the Kohen Gadol wants to add money and have more Choshev for Begadim, he's welcome to add, but he has to be Mosif Mishalo. He has to add money of his own money. He can't take more than that from the Tzibor.